We are about to engage in a summary of the cosmic system of hatred, and you may find yourself within this context. So it's imperative we pause for a few moments of silent prayer. The least you can do is be filled with the Holy Spirit before we start. Shall we pray? Now, Father, as we engage a study of the mindset of the cosmic individual, it is our prayer that we would remain filled with the Holy Spirit while observing tendencies that we each possess regarding at least some of these mental attitudes. Our prayer is being reminded of and being instructed about these areas of evil thought, that we'd be better prepared to defend our own souls against it, as well as having the mental expertise to identify it as it comes in to our souls from others. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the first thing I want to do is take a look at this diagram here where we have summary statements of each of these categories. There are cosmic systems that are categorized as the system of arrogance and the system of hatred. These complexes are typical executions from each of these mental attitudes. A person that is divorced from the Word of God is going to become entangled in the thinking of the devil's world. And as a result of that, they can eventually engage evil. And evil systematically executes the wicked. So we want to stay away from this, but we also want to be aware of it. So the summary statements are as follows. First of all, the sin nature which each of us possesses. It is genetically inherited with trends that tempt man to commit sin and to oppose the Word of God. Secondly, there is negative volition. This is a propensity to attack all things biblical and aggressively oppose God and Christ. Degeneration. This is disorganized evil, in which loss of thought results in having no restraint on one's decisions and taking no responsibility for one's actions. Anti-establishment, opposition to the divine institutions, hatred of all systems of authority, and then opposition to those who are in authority. Demonism, demon possession of a few manipulates the thinking of the many through demon influence. This is a problem that explains a great deal of the crazy thought that is being parlanced today. It doesn't take but a few people in significant positions to communicate an idea through demon possession. Now, this may strike some of you of relying on recent movies. But the movies get their information from biblical exposition. The apostles encountered demon-possessed people. The apostles ran into these types of individuals, and Jesus Christ was involved himself in having demons exit the bodies of individuals. There's the famous encounter in Mark chapter 5, where he runs into the naked man who lived in the graveyard. And he said, "What is your name?" And the response was, "We are Legion," which indicates about 5,000 to 6,000 demons indwelt this one guy. And he told them to come out. And they said, "Well, we don't want to." He said, "If we come out, will you send us into the abyss?" And he said, "Well, that's the general direction." And they said, "Will it be okay if we indwelt those pigs over yonder?" And he said, "Okay." So they came out of the guy. They indwelt that drift of pigs. They went crazy, ran into the water, and they all drowned. A demon has to have a body to possess in order to function. They don't just have free access to what we do without someone communicating the idea. And so there are those demon-possessed people that still exist in the church age. I think most of them are professors out of the Columbia School of Education. But then there's the demon influence that is perpetrated upon innocent children. And so as a result of that, over a course of 60 to 70 years, children have grown into adulthood demon-influenced. And that's where we are today. They've about another few graduations, and they will have the majority in this country. So demonism is possession of demon possession of a few manipulates the thinking of the many through demon influence. It promotes political correctness, multiculturalism, and the redistribution of wealth. Cosmic panaceas, philosophies and ideologies that sustain the long march through institutions by propagandizing the benighted into accepting the false premise of human equality. Religion, man by man's efforts to gain approbation from God. This system of anti-grace emphasizes Christian service over the work of Christ and the power of God's Word. Anthropocentric academic speculation. Adherence to hypotheses and theories that dismiss the Bible as the absolute source of truth. For example, socialism, global warming, the Big Bang, and Keynesianism. Evil. Lucifer's system of good and evil that strives to create a man-made millennium by exclusion of divine viewpoint. Now, those are summary statements. We'll take a look a little deeper into these as we go through each one. Now, I don't want to leave the slide up there because you'll keep reading it. It'll be online sometime next week. Let's note the first category is the sin nature. Each one of you has one. It is a part of your genetic makeup. It's the DNA. And we could go all the way back to Adam when he ate the forbidden fruit. And as a result of that, Genesis tells us that dying, you will surely die. And the repetition of the word for death there is extremely important. The first death has to do with the process of dying physically. And then you die physically. And so that's one of the muths. The other muth has to do with spiritual death that occurs instantly. So you have instant spiritual death, and then that, of course, sets up a process of a gradual decline physically into physical death. And so death was not in the world until Adam sinned. And when he did, it set up a system by which man would ultimately expire. And between that point and when Adam died, he had to believe in Christ in order to have eternal life. Up to that point, he had forever life. We do not know how long the period of perfection lasted in Eden. He and his wife, Eshah, were created perfect. There was no sin nature. Their point of contact with God was his love. There was only one mandate that they were to observe, and that was to avoid the fruit of the forbidden fruit, the tree of forbidden fruit. But otherwise, there were no restraints on them. So they were perfect people with perfect bodies and a perfect environment. And so it was a setup that meant that they had forever life. There was no reason for them to die. And death did not enter into the equation until they ate the forbidden fruit. So that period in Eden could have been a very, very long time. There's a big debate as to how old the earth is. It doesn't matter how old the earth is. People want to take biblical records, which are accurate, of how old people were when they were born and when they died. And then you start adding these things up, and you come up with a total of post-fall history of being somewhere in the neighborhood of 8,000 or 9,000 years. And people won't insist, without examining the scripture further, that that's how old the earth is. Well, that's not true. We won't go into it now, but in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in doing this, it was done perfectly. God does not create anything imperfect. Everything he creates is perfect, including the universe and planet earth. Notice it said in Genesis 1:1, that God created, that's bara, out of nothing, the universe, the heavens, and the earth. The earth was not a ball of gas that swirled around for billions of years and then became the earth. In Genesis 1:1, part of the original creation was the heavens and the earth. Therefore, the earth existed at that point. We could go into the concept surrounding the fall of Lucifer and how this entered into the whole equation, but that's something we'd have to allow you to get off the internet. But the period of time from the creation of the earth until the creation of the human race could have been an extremely long time. And we've studied that in the details you can find on the internet. The point that we need to observe here is that man is on earth. Man was perfect. Man fell, became imperfect, and in need of a Savior. Now we know that Adam and then Eve, she was named Eve after the fall. Adam and Eve became believers in Christ because he actually taught Bible class to them every afternoon in the garden. That's Genesis 3:8. And so obviously he had communicated these things to them and reiterated them after the fall, and they believed in the messianic concept. And therefore one of the animals was slain. The hide was therefore taken and clothes were made for them. And so that was the indication that they're covered in the substitutionary sacrifice of an animal, indicating their faith in the coming Messiah. So then their physical death brings on a problem, and that people are going to die and continue to die. And the reason for that is the sin nature is a part of the DNA that they passed along through procreation. So all of us inherit Adam's original sin and the sin nature ultimately from his DNA. So when you're born condemned. Now, we're fortunate in that Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, indicating that prior to your salvation, you were condemned and in need of a Savior. And so the sinful nature is a part of what we have to deal with. It's in the DNA. It therefore invades our thought processes. It has lust patterns. The lust patterns campaign for release and execution. And that's what this first category involves. The sin nature is the genetically formed process. The genetically formed sin nature processes a number of lust patterns. And we're going to note, I think, about 10 of them. The first one is power lust. Power lust usually has to do with approbation lust. People want to be noticed. They want to have authority. They want their ideas to be accepted. And they want to be praised for this. That's approbation lust. And then, of course, there is inordinate ambition. It's okay to be ambitious in the sense that everyone wants to progress, to get better, to become more precise and efficient in what they do. But inordinate ambition is where you seek to achieve a certain level of authority where you're not qualified to be. And that, I think there's a book written back in the 70s called The Peter Principle. That's actually what that is you get promoted beyond your abilities. And power lust will do that for some. The second category has to do with pleasure. Everyone likes to be pleased. And there's many ways to be pleased and many ways to have pleasure. But in the sin nature's lust pattern, we find that there are areas of gratification that are dishonorable, degenerate, or displeasing to God. Now, when you're newly saved, you don't know what these are. You probably know or have heard about the Ten Commandments. You shouldn't kill people, shouldn't lie in court, shouldn't commit adultery, lust after your neighbor's possessions, and so on. You've heard those, but that's about the end of it. There are well over 630 mandates in the Mosaic Law, and you're required to keep all of them if you're a Jew and do not believe in Christ. Of course, God set these mandates up, 630-something, because he knew that nobody could keep them consistently, and therefore you have to have a Day of Atonement every year in order to wash things away temporarily, and you get to start over. But we, are, of course, are able to do this through confession alone to God alone. So there are these areas of gratification that are a part of the sin nature's trends that we want to do. And the Bible reveals what they are, and we are to avoid this by making the decision not to allow the sin nature to have its way. Now, not as easily said as done, I admit. But as you grow in grace, you begin to form iron in the soul and become better at denying your body its cravings. And therefore, it's a process. Next is sexual lust. Any carnal activity outside the bounds of heterosexual marriage. Put an exclamation point after that one. Circle the word any. Any carnal activity outside the bounds of heterosexual marriage is motivated by sexual lust. It's actually a lust for opioid release. Next is social. The desire to gain a greater social position to the diminishment of others. There are social climbers in this world. They want to be recognized with others whom they admire or not necessarily admire, but want to be seen with because it will bring approbation to them. So a desire for social advancement sometimes is associated with approbation, and that's power lust. And as soon as you're able to accomplish the advance, as you climb that social ladder, you leave behind old friends and you scoff at them and decide not to associate with them anymore because you are far better in society than they are. These are arrogant people, obviously, but this is worse. This is involved in hatred. Then there's approbation lust, the desire for praise, approval, and recognition. There's also approbation associated with power lust, but this is associated with self-promotion. It has not necessarily to do with power, but recognition. You want to be recognized. Talk about me. Tell me how great I am. Shower praises upon me. Come on, y'all. Praise me. People in entertainment have a hard time with this because they get up with talents that God's given them and do whatever they do. They sing songs, they play the piano, whistle Dixie, whatever they do. Like you take, for example, Rodney Crowell and Emmylou Harris. They're going to be at the Peabody tonight. Have a little bluegrass because I would lust to go down there to see this. But nevertheless, they've been at it a very long time. And if I were down there and they get up and sing their songs, I'm going to clap and say, hey, that was great. And other people would do that too. You've been to concerts and you stand up and you clap. And when it's all over, you've learned this. When it's all over, if you'll stand up and clap long enough, they'll come back and do an encore. And what about that person? They know the folks love them. That they receive this rush. All of them will tell you, we love to appear before the crowd and hear the applause and the cheers. That's approbation lust. And what happens when you get older, you lose your voice, arthritis in the fingers, can't play the piano or the guitar. What happens when you can't do it anymore? They get very frustrated because the applause is gone, the limelight has been turned off. And they become very depressed. Some of them commit suicide. It's because nobody's saying you're great anymore. Whatever you do, do it to the best of your ability. And if you are good at what you do, people are going to compliment you. And remember this, the best response to any compliment about anything you do is, well, I would be nothing without Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Monetary. Obsessive desire to acquire more and more wealth, assets, and possessions. The good example here is the parvenu. A parvenu is one that has recently or suddenly risen to an unaccustomed position of wealth and power and has not yet gained the prestige, dignity, or manner associated with it. Let me give an example of parvenus. You remember how Ed McMahon used to show up at the front door with a bag full of money if you're subscribed to like Sports Illustrated? Remember that? They got a new guy now. I think Ed's retired. I see it on TV. People are given like a bag full of money for subscribing to a magazine. And you see them jumping up and down and cheering. Also, people can go down here to the casinos. They take some money in there and they can play whatever games they have available and it spits out a bunch of money and suddenly they have a lot. they can hang on longer than somebody else they're related to, and then when they die, they inherit a bag full of money. And suddenly, they have as much money as the rich folks in town do. But they don't have the sophistication for it. So they're a fish out of water. But nevertheless, they've got the money, and they're arrogant with it. And I've heard that those who win lotteries and get like 70 or 80 or $150 million in one shot can spend it over the course of 5 years. How do you do that? Because you don't have the capacity for it. No capacity. No sophistication of thought. And so there are those who lust for this and do anything they can to get more of it. Obsessive desire to acquire more and more wealth, assets, or possessions. Then there's chemical lust. This is a big one today. People apparently are not able to deal with 21st century America. They couldn't deal with 20th century America. I can get that. It all started around the mid-1960s with that Yellow Submarine album, and nothing's been right since. But nevertheless, they started toking up along about that time. And nothing slowed it down. You even have better marijuana plants now than you had then. They've cultivated. I mean, people have decided we're going to get better at doing this. And so now the whatever P's that are in it, PCP, APT, whatever's in there is more powerful than it used to be. And so people that smoke dope now get a bigger rush than they ever did before. And they drive. Use of mind-altering substances that diminish one's ability or desire to comply with establishment or biblical standards for thought, decision, and action. It's all about self. I want the rush. I want to feel better. But primarily, I'm not able to deal with life on my own. I need to, in some way, extract myself from reality and feel good for a while. But the problem is you have a liver. And if you have a liver, it's going to cycle all of that out, and you'll expunge it in some way. And then you're going to be back to where you were, and you'll be who you are, and you won't be any better then than you were before, and you want to visit that place again. And so you just go somewhere and pay some money for more of those leaves. And then if that ever wears thin, let's get something just a little bit bigger kick and last a little longer. So let's go to Montgomery County and get some methamphetamine. Let's go over there. World capital for making dope is in Montgomery County, Missouri. Let's go over there and get some of that methamphetamine. It's high quality. Then if that's not enough, we can move over to opium and heroin and whatever else we can find. Then what happens? There's a breakdown in the body. You've got a wife and kids. You can't work anymore because your brain is fried. And yet there are more people who are getting the dole. And there's a kid whose brain is fried too because they're letting him smoke the stuff. And now he's going to be on the dole for the rest of his life. And millions of people are involved in this, and we have to pay them, it says, because they can't help themselves. They say that it's a victimless crime, but it's not. Crusader. Oh, there are plenty of these. Crusader arrogance. Under the sin nature, this is a temptation. Crusader has to do with anti-authority attitudes that either promote or motivate involvement in civil disobedience, globalism, collectivism, environmentalism, terrorism, socialism, communism, anti-Semitism, treason, sedition, rebellion, revolution, or assassination, all of which is being practiced somewhere around the world today. A lot of it in this country. There are people who want to do away with our current administrator. Know this, no good has ever come from any assassination, anywhere, anytime. God puts those people in power. His choice. He allowed it to occur. When our Lord was before Pontius Pilate, you do remember this. Pilate said to him, when the Lord wasn't saying squat back to him, he said, don't you realize that I have the power to execute you or the power to cut you free. And the Lord said, you would have no power were it not written off on from above. We have the leadership we deserve. We have the leadership God in His plan and in the divine decree determined was best for us at this time. Evil will systematically execute the wicked. Leave them alone. God is in His heaven. He will deal with this. Evil will not flourish. Truth will prevail. Leave it alone. Only a crusader would try to do otherwise. And there's a lust pattern in the sin nature to do this. Revenge. Anybody ever ticked you off? You decided somebody's going to bleed here today. That's revenge lust of the sin nature. The desire to retaliate for real or imagined insults, slights, acts, failures, or in the current parlance, being dissed. I found that in the dictionary, it means short for disrespect. So you say, you're dissing me, means you're disrespecting me. But then the person that says that is dissing the word disrespect by dissing two of its syllables. Which I think is arrogance. It, the inability to articulate three syllables, you cut it down to one. Yet, it has made the dictionary. Not as a word that you would find in a slang dictionary, but in a real Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Although it does say here that it's slang. To treat with disrespect or contempt a disparaging remark or act. That's in Webster's 11th Collegiate. Has to be in the Collegiate Dictionary, see. The next category that we have in our cosmic system of hatred is negative volition. Now, this church is a good example of negative volition. Let me explain. I've been here 28 years. Now, I'm going to do a survey of the congregation this morning, okay? I'm just going to look through the congregation. There's two. I found two. Here's the more. Do I hear three? Do I hear three? I'm looking for three. Three. Maybe four. Forget if you were here at the beginning. You were not. So we're stuck with three. Been here 28 years. Three people in this church today when I got here in 1985. So I have cleared the room on occasion. Okay? Why would that be? There are several reasons. People, because of their job, have to pack up and move to wherever the new job is. Okay? Some people, therefore, are still positive, and they even use the internet to stay with us. Or they find a nice doctrinal church wherever they move, and that's fine. There are other people who... Let's see if we can back up and see the reason here. There must be a reason. Oh, it must be right here somewhere. They couldn't take this, so they left. And that's okay. That is called free exercise. To dramatize it, why are the people across the Great Gulf fixed here not coming over here? Why are they over there? Because that's free exercise, and we're good with that. We want everyone in this country to be able to go to any church or some kind of religious facility that they want to. We want that to be wide open and let truth prevail. People don't want to come, that's their business. That's free will. Stay gone. There's no need to come in here because you've got to go through this process and you're not going to like it here. Not if you're an unbeliever. You can't stay. Unless you want to study the Bible as literature. But other than that, there's no reason to come inside of a church. So negative volition is an issue here as far as hatred is concerned. Now, there's negative volition of arrogance, but let's take a look at negative volition of hatred. Whereas negative volition in the arrogance complex is driven by overemphasis on self rather than interest in God and His Word. In the hatred complex, negative volition is expressed by aggressive assaults on God and His Word. Now, what does that remind you of? It reminds you of our current zeitgeist. Nobody can say anything about God, Jesus, Bible, church, anything like that without the progressives waxing absolutely fanatical. And they say, you can't say that outside the doors of your church. Well, I want to tell you what. I have free exercise, and I will say whatever I want to anywhere, anytime. How about you? And they're going to have to deal with it. But you do it in a way that's led by the Holy Spirit. For them to say you can't mention the Bible outside the doors of your place of worship is simply a violation of freedom of speech, not to mention free exercise. So we have the hatred complex. Negative volition is expressed by aggressive assaults on God and His Word. And this hatred expands to all things associated with the Christian faith. Number three is degeneration. Freedom allows a population to make independent decisions within the confines of the law. For that freedom to be prolonged, the people must use their free will to make decisions that contribute to the maintenance of freedom. In other words, you know truth, truth will make you free. Now, degeneration of thought is where we are in our country. There are establishment principles that keep people free. First of all is volition. You don't need to manipulate, control, or suppress the free thinking of other people. They need to be left free to accept or reject truth or to identify the lie. You have information by which you can seek out and identify the lie and reject it. That's divine guidance. You have used divine guidance in order to say, I know what they're up to. But in this particular case of degeneration, it is where there is a ongoing downtrend of thought moving away from traditional concepts over to presently progressive. So progressive ideology has captured the attention and the minds and the decision making of the majority of the power brokers in this country. And it's even gotten worse. I'll have something to say later back over here in my notes somewhere. Oh, here it is. I don't know if any of you are aware of this, but there's a curriculum that is set to go in force next year in Missouri schools called Common Core. Karl Marx, Lenin, Stalin, and Gramsci couldn't have come up with a more complete curriculum to brainwash children. And if you have children in public schools, you need to educate yourself on Common Core. And it's coming down the pike. Let's see what year it is. There's so many different times for application. In the 2013-14 school year, that would be September or August for people in Missouri. That is degenerate thought. And it's being accepted. It's been sold because people are benighted by the propaganda. And they've decided to be brainwashed by it. And as a result of this, our children are being systematically turned into socialists. And they keep that up for 10 years, it's going to be hell to pay for this country. When you brainwash an entire generation, I am telling you, evil is afoot in this country. It has momentum. And the only thing that can stop it is Jesus Christ, who controls history. And He will only do that if there's a reason, and the reason falls in your lap. You are the reason Christ would spare this nation, and there's no other reason. So your devotion, your attention, your focus on the Word of God is imperative for the resolution of this issue. And once it is conquered and overwhelmed, it'll then take a century to undo what's been done. Now, we're in a great deal of prosperity now in this country. People do not realize the horror that we're going to be in within the next 10 years if something doesn't change. And if it goes on to its apparent ultimate conclusion, if nothing changes, then you're going to have to use the only thing available to you to survive it, and that's the Word of God you have in your soul. And during this time of prosperity is the time to get it there. Now, I don't know how many Doritos out there today that are actually members of this local church, but need to get your spotted bottoms in here. Doritos, of course. They doing what they can do out yonder. Know truth, and truth will make you free. And so anti-establishment, every system in life has an authority structure. There is policy to maintain order and a process to achieve the desired objective. People have positions of authority to see that the system is maintained. Antagonistic and rebellious people who reject authority contribute to a breakdown of that system. The basic system of authority in this country is the Constitution. It is systematically being pushed to the side by the 14th Amendment. It's going to come down to the fact and to the point eventually to where the Constitution is going to be the first section of the 14th Amendment. And that'll be it. And that's where you get due process and equal protection clauses. And the big, fat, juicy word in there is equal protection. Like there can be equality and there cannot be. That is right out of the heart of hell. Paul was teaching the divine system in Ephesus, but Alexander Coppersmith challenged his authority and that of his message. We studied that recently. Alexander Coppersmith was at least demon-influenced. Alexander Coppersmith challenged Paul's authority and his message in Ephesus, and it almost created a riot and could have cost Paul his life had he not been sick. Sometimes being sick will keep you out of a place of danger somewhere you don't need to be that day. So Paul didn't go to the agora. He didn't go to the amphitheater that day because he was sick. And they were looking for him, and they would have killed him had he shown up. Why is that? Because of anti-establishment attitudes by the unions of Ephesus, the people who made the bric-a-brac for Artemis. The divine institutions are the foundation of all authority in life. There is free will, and then there's marriage. Marriage is under assault today through verbicide. Then there's family. Families are broken in this country. There's not a mother and a daddy that actually defines the marriage anymore. Why is that? Because of the breakdown of the divine institution through progressive ideology. It's okay to have these ill-defined unions. That's the family, and of course it's under assault, and ultimately it's the nation. That's the final block in the structure of a free society. The nation then goes next. So destroy the people's volition, propagandize them with a lie. That then will bleed over in them having a different idea of what marriage is, if they have one at all. And then that will bleed over to destroying the family. And once the family's gone, the nation's gone. History proves this. Next is demonism. We'll let this be the end one for today, since we're about out of time. Lucifer is able to control people by means of demon possession and demon influence. Through them, he is able to introduce ideas he hopes will enable him to gain control of the human race through internationalism, collectivism, and multiculturalism. I am telling you that those three concepts are part of developing a socialistic society. And socialism is only communism light. And communism is only totalitarianism light. So demonism has inspired these thoughts. Demonism is behind all of the ill-begotten ideas that have gained momentum in our nation today. He has communicated them, and they have been accepted through demon influence, and they now are being communicated to the benighted children in the classrooms of America, and it will get worse later this year through Common Core, even worse. Good place to stop. No Bible class midweek. I'll see you next Sunday at the usual time. Now, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to study the dark side. We certainly are candidates to enter into that arena. Only through your word, only through your system by which we can gain the filling of the Spirit, his teaching ministry to appropriate your word into our souls, These are the things that we must have if we're to remain free and separated from the downslide of cosmic America. Therefore, motivate us with the responsibility we possess to do better, to focus our attention on spiritual growth, to stand fast in the combat, and to depend on Jesus Christ to protect us during the engagement. We thank you for your grace and mercy to us, for your divine provisions and protection. And we lift our prayer in the name of Christ our Savior. Charis human kai reine, pleithuntha e in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen.